This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What does the future hold for Shador Sanders? Hey, welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perloff back from his week away in Costa Rica, which sounds like it was pretty harrowing, actually. Unfortunately, I'm under the weather, so I'm in the New Jersey studios today. Perloff's at headquarters in New York. We're so glad to have you. And Perloff, we'll get back into your Costa Rica trip in a minute. But Shador Sanders, so a little bit of news came out yesterday. He is not going to be throwing at the Combine, which gets underway this week in Indianapolis. And to be honest, I don't really care about that. You know, a lot of guys have not been throwing at the Combine. But what's going to happen now in this draft process is we are maybe going to get, I want to say, further away from Shador as Deion's son. And we're going to really start diving into the tape of what we saw in Colorado and projecting on whether or not he can work in the NFL. And, you know, the thing about Shador, like a lot of these quarterbacks who go high in the draft, they're not going to very good teams. So I worry a bit for Shador that he could be going as high as 3 or even 2 to Cleveland, 3 to the New York Giants. Maybe it's 6, 7. He's probably going to be a top 10 pick, but I don't know if he's a top 10 talent. And quarterbacks get pushed to the top here because this draft process works for them and teams are so desperate. But let's look at what Shador was able to do at Colorado and some of the things that he was dealing with. And I don't know if he projects to be this franchise savior, which is what he's going to be billed as.
I'm not sure I understand why he had a terrible line at Colorado, and he made them into an explosive offense. So he's going to presumably go to a team with a bad line, like the New York Giants or the Raiders. Cleveland could have actually a really good O-line if everyone was healthy, but he's used to that. Like, you look at the tape, and he's under pressure all the time, and yet he had a knack for turning really, really what should have been bad plays into either throwaways or decent plays. Like, if I'm looking at Shador Sanders, I'm like, wow, he's already been under the crucible of a bad O-line. I think he can handle this. I think Cam Moore, by the way, was very similar to Shador. Like, he would hold on the ball and try and make plays. Shador does hold on to the ball, but he was forced to make plays at Colorado because they were bad at exactly what you're talking about. They're basically the New York Giants of college football. They had no O-line.
Okay, but what's the big difference when you step up in weight class between any college conference, even the SEC and the Big Ten, and then you get to the NFL? You know, the type of pressure that's going to be bearing down on you is going to be a lot faster. Like, everyone says that's the biggest change from college to the pros is just the speed of both the offense and the defense. And some things that Shador may have been able to get away with in college, he's not going to be able to get away with in the NFL. And so let's play a little bit of sound from someone who you and I both respect immensely. And it is a talent evaluator by the name of Greg Cosell. And he was on Ross Tucker's podcast, and he was talking about Shador Sanders, and here's some of the limitations he sees from Shador, particularly behind what was a leaky offensive line.
And he was under a lot of pressure. There were a lot of plays where he had no chance, zero chance. But what he does have a tendency to do, and this also has to be cleaned up, is retreat backwards. And you know this is an offensive lineman. You can't retreat backwards in the NFL.
Okay, so that was one opinion from Greg Cosell. Again, not a mock drafter, not a hot taker, just a guy who's watching the film. And I ask you if this is somebody who you think could be a generational talent, which is, you know, not, you know, is kind of what comes with the territory if you're drafted very high. Here's more from Greg Cosell, and here's the comp that he has for who Shador most reminds him of.
You know, the player, I've talked to some scouts, the name that often comes up as a comparison for him is Geno Smith. And Geno Smith is a little bit bigger with a better overall arm, but he's probably that kind of quarterback.
Okay, Perloff, that Geno Smith has had an all-time renaissance in his career, and we think about Geno very differently now after the Seattle stint than we did after the New York Jets and the New York Giants, and I think he played for San Diego for a minute too. I mean, it took Geno a little bit to get to find his footing in the NFL. If we're going to put a comp at Geno Smith, then you cannot expect Shador Sanders to come into the NFL and all of a sudden be gangbusters and be the next Jaden Daniels or be the next C.J. Stroud.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Geno Smith was 2013, right? That was 12 years ago. I think Geno Smith would be a first-round pick now for sure. I mean, Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy were just first-round picks, and Geno threw 45 touchdowns his last year at West Virginia. So I think times have changed. Like, you gotta get the quarterback now because of the salary cap. It's like it's a different NFL a little bit, so I don't think he falls the second round. I mean, that was true back then, but it's really true now. Secondly, like, Shador is nothing like him. Greg is a big tape guy. On tape, he might look like Geno, and I get the physical comparisons. Shador Sanders and Geno Smith could not be more opposite personalities. Geno Smith came in the NFL and was definitely like had mixed reviews as a leader and a teammate. Like part of it was because he was at a dysfunctional Jets locker room. But Shador is larger than life. I mean, Shador is the man. Guy drives the fancy car, has his own podcast. Like, Shador is an alpha. He's a true leader. So you're going to get that. Now, Greg Cosell doesn't do much on that. And also, too, the thing about him moving backwards in the pocket. You know, I saw this stat on Pro Football Focus. He was under 20% more pressure than any quarterback in college football. So he's right. He was under pressure, and he had one of the best turnover-worthy play percentages of any quarterback. So most quarterbacks under pressure immediately throw the ball away. Shador never throws interceptions or rarely throws interceptions. So you're right. Like, the pass rushers get faster in the NFL, but you got to compare it to something. That they get faster for every quarterback, for Cam Ward, too. You think Cam Ward can do all the things he did in college? So I just think that you're looking at the things that Shador did well in those situations do translate. He avoids turnovers. He's incredibly accurate. People say he doesn't have an explosive arm, but I saw him throw a lot of bombs. His receivers were good at Colorado. I'll give you that. Yeah. So I think, like, a lot of things that he does will translate really well to the NFL. He seems like he could run a West Coast, like a real, if he can get coached to get rid of the ball a little faster, he's got all the tools to be a really accurate passer, which to me is, you know, still one of the most important things an NFL quarterback can do. And I think, like C.J. Stroud, he'll run more in the pros because he can. He's not fast. He's nothing like his dad, but he can get away from pressure. I think that some of those negatives that Greg and you were mentioning are just a little overstated.
Well, I don't know. We're going to see. We're talking about Shador Sanders, so not going to be throwing at the combine. Another update, not going to be going to the draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is where the draft is this year. Not going to go. Going to do a party somewhere, doing his own thing. Again, we've seen this a lot lately with guys. But I was wondering, is he possibly doing the party also because he's not sure? They're talking really big right now about where Shador is going to get drafted. But again, let's go through the whole process. And if Greg is saying, scouts are saying the comp is Geno Smith, well, I disagree with you. I don't think Geno Smith is going third overall, even back in 2013. And that was a weak quarterback draft. I'll raise my hand. You guys can see all the Buffalo Bills stuff behind me. That was the EJ Manuel draft. And, you know, it's not like Geno fell because they were all Andrew Luck was in front of them and, you know, RG3 and all that. It wasn't that draft. It was a very weak QB draft. And so I guess here's where I kind of want to, I'm not trying to be negative on Shador. What I'm saying is I think that the hype around Shador is going to get so out of control when that doesn't really match who the guy is, right? That may not match not only his skill set, but like he might not be warranting that level of hype. But his last name and his celebrity and fame, I think, has taken him to a totally different level where his game is actually a little bit more, I'm not saying average, but not top three worthy, potentially. And so you go to the wrong place. You go to the New York Giants. You go to the Cleveland Browns. You go to one of these franchises where everyone is jonesing for a savior. And if you're looking for Shador to be that guy, I think you're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah, I feel like something's going on with the NFL quarterbacks where guys like Geno. Now you have me calling him Geno. Shador are kind of doing well. Like an older quarterback coming to the NFL, if he can get to a good offensive coach like a Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, I just like watch Shador play. Like the ball comes out really well out of his hand. Like, and again, if I'm doing a draft again, I know that Geno can throw for 4,000 yards and 32 touchdowns. Like, I don't think that's the worst player comp. I'm taking Geno Smith if I'm Cleveland right now. Number two is a little rich. But, yeah, I think the way that you draft quarterbacks now, even with what you're saying, Maggie, which I understand, he's certainly not Justin Herbert coming out of Oregon, even though he had his question marks too. I see he's not overly physical, and he doesn't, like, pop off the screen. But still, like, he just showed that he could be a good, accurate passer. Like Bo Nix, for example, last year. Like, Bo Nix was a good, accurate passer, last year at Oregon, 2 years ago at Oregon. And with the right coach, he came in and said he could get it done in the NFL. So Shador is not going to lift a franchise single-handedly, like you mentioned that these teams want. But you get him with the right coach and the right wide receivers, like, he's going to be a productive NFL quarterback. And I think you can't know nowadays, if you think a guy's going to be productive, there's no way you let him fall the second round. That's just never happening in today's NFL. In fact, you're willing to go up for a Zach Wilson or a Trey Lance. That I think teams are going to be like, if you told me, oh, he's going to be Geno Smith now, I think a lot of teams would take him top 10. I mean, Geno Smith is very productive.
Yeah, 10 years into his career when he finally figured some stuff out. But here's the thing. I'm talking about, I think, the expectations. And that's where I think you and I disagree. I think that the expectations on Shador are massive. And I think, it's the outside world that's doing a little of it. And I think it's the Sanders family that's doing a little of it. You know, Deion has never been shy about saying he wants Shador to go number one overall. I think maybe that ship has sailed. But they want him to go as high as possible. You know, they want to have manipulate where he goes potentially, if they don't like, what they're seeing. It's going to be a lot of fuss over Shador I'm saying.
But how much But Maggie, how much fuss has there been about Cam Ward getting to number one in every single mock draft? Like, no one's made a huge deal out of that. It sort of happened naturally.
No, I get it, but we're very at the beginning of this thing. You know, I think there's just going to be a lot of fuss being made potentially over Shador because Deion has said he will step in. So what do? You put even more of a bullseye on the kid, even more of a spotlight on the kid. You know, let's see if the Manning family tried to pull what they did with Eli Manning in 2004. Let's try that in 2025 and see how different it is. And, you know, Eli didn't have the outsized personality that Shador does. He wasn't out there with his own podcast. That wasn't a thing back then. So, you know, I think there's just a lot of reasons and a lot of, like, factors that could end up working against Shador, where he comes in with massive expectations when he's actually not that guy, and he goes to a team that's asking him to be the savior, and he's not capable of doing it, and then where are we, right? Like, can I play you another clip from Greg Cosell? So Greg Cosell, great talent evaluator, not a hot taker, looking at Shador's film, and he said that Shador is a piece of the offense, but not the whole offense.
You're talking about a shorter quarterback who's a pocket player. So to me, he's a ball distributor and an executor of an offense. He needs the system to work for him. He needs a run game. He needs a good O-line. He's a piece. He's a piece of an offense.
Right. So this is the piece of the offense, not the guy who's going to come in and all of a sudden be the one who elevates the offense.
Right. Right. Like Bo Nix last year with Sean Payton in Denver. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think you and I disagree about how high a guy like that should go. That's the best you can ask for. Like, who is not a piece of the offense? Like, there's no, in this year's draft, Cam Ward is not a huge guy either. I mean, Shador is probably a little smaller, but there's no Jaden Daniels or Drake May in this draft. And I don't know if there's one coming up. So I think you got to get this. Like, let's talk about like a Drew Brees type. Like, I'm sorry, in today's draft world, like, you got to take that guy top 10. Just because he's a piece, it's not as big a negative, I think. With the right system, listen, we look at these spots and you have to squint, but you can see, you know, the coaches and the wide receivers that are available in the top 10. Like, a piece quarterback, let's say it, a system quarterback could do well. And the other thing about it, I think Shador is a little better than a system quarterback. I don't think he is John Wolford here. I think he can sling it. I mean, the guy, you watch him throw the ball, he throws a beautiful pass, and his arm's just going to get stronger when he gets to the NFL, just like every other quarterback. You know, now I'm hearing like undertones of Andy Dalton here, the way that Greg Cosell is describing him. But hey, you know what? Andy Dalton got to a lot of playoff games. So I think if you're the Raiders and he does fall to 6, very reasonable, especially the way we're talking about him now. Hey, you know what? You got a very, very smart system quarterback at number 5 built around that guy. I'm okay with that. I know he is not Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I'm okay with everything that Greg described.
And taking him that high. 855-212-4227. All right, let us know what you think about Shador Sanders. And, you know, listen, we don't know where he's going to go yet. So that obviously is a big piece of the puzzle. But is he being set up to be this generational talent, this, you know, top 5, top 3 pick, when maybe that doesn't match the player that he actually is? Again, 855-212-4227. So glad that Perloff is back from vacation in Costa Rica. Well-deserved, my friend. Like, it just doesn't sound like it was all that relaxing, but you deserve some time away.
It was death-defying. I couldn't wait to land in New York and just sort of I unpack all these disgusting clothes because I was in the jungle. It was crazy. I was basically Indiana Jones for a week.
In your mind?
No. I have photos just doing death-defying thing after death-defying thing. There were some hikes, Maggie, that were really uncomfortable. I mean, I had a blister on my right foot. There was going on. Yeah.
Oh, how did you survive?
I'll tell you one thing. Oh, the food, the fresh fruit, the smoothies. I ate like a king for a week.
Did you have any maracuyá while you were over there?
I did not, to my knowledge.
What is that, Manny?
Passion fruit.
Oh, no, I didn't have passion fruit. They didn't have that, but there was just lots of papaya.
Mm, yeah, of course.
Lots of papaya, lots of guava. Mm. There's this one fruit that I don't even know what it is, but it's got a gelatinous middle and seeds in the middle, and you scoop it out and eat it.
Is it dragon fruit?
It might be dragon fruit. I don't know.
Wait, dragon fruit is gelatinous in the inside? I don't think so.
I will look this up and I will have it, but there was a fruit that's...
Is it a lychee?
Nope. It looks more like a lychee. It's closer to a lychee, but it's not a lychee, and it's famous in Costa Rica. I will get that. I ate so much fruit. It's so good for you. I'm going to become a fruits and vegetable guy now, Maggie. Like,
oh,
you know,
now you're a fruit guy.
You always read that in like diet stuff. Like, you got to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. I'm thinking that's my new diet trend. Although I don't know where we get those here in America, in the Northeast.
Don't have a guy now in Costa Rica that can send you this stuff just straight to your house?
Well, I mean, it is a real issue. Like, it's not the same when fruit comes from halfway across the world. I don't want to sound like RFK Jr. right now, but like getting it.
They're going to bring up the tariffs.
Yeah, like, getting fruit from Hawaii.
One of those papayas is going to cost you $20.
Well, the thing is, too, they're not fresh because they've been traveling all over the world. I was literally, you know, getting stuff that was
right off the tree.
Manny, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, big time. I have in Mexico, my family has like avocado trees and lime trees. So you just grab them from the tree and voila, let's eat.
You have an avocado tree? Oh,
yeah,
they have
in Mexico. Yeah.
I would eat 10 avocados a day.
Oh, delicious.
Wait, you're telling me there's not dragon fruit trees in New York City? Blasphemy.
Listen, Perloff, you got to go to Spanish Harlem to go get some of these Costa Rican fruits that I Googled. Like, it's gone now. Like mamon chino, pitaya, guanabana.
Ooh, help me out here, Manny. What are those?
Are those?
So, mamon chino looks like it's a, what'd you say, a lychee?
Yeah, lychee.
I'm not familiar with that fruit. A pitaya is a type of dragon fruit that is locally grown in Costa Rica, and guanabana is soursop.
That's what it is.
There we go. Found it, guys.
Guanabana. Yeah. Give me
See, these sounds like things that would be great in a cocktail. I know you're trying to be healthy, Perloff, but you're asking me. It sounds like a pretty good mixer.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? That's like half of what people do in Costa Rica. They go death-defying things during the day, then they get drunk at night on fruit drinks. Also,
yeah, well, you have to. You got to unwind after you just, you know, basically were running with crocodiles. I'd need a drink after that, too.
Have you ever had a golden berry? I didn't know this was a big thing. It's like a cherry... It's a combination of a cherry tomato and an actual cherry. It's unbelievable. I had a million of those.
You had a Peruvian ground cherry in Costa Rica?
I did. I don't know about that. Oh, I did have a star fruit. Yeah. Anyway, I will actually, you know, I did get everybody a gift, too.
Oh, is that right?
Well, sort
really?
Of.
That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great.
The hell you mean sorta?
I mean, it's not the best thing ever. It's
one gift for all five of us.
No. I got you a little something.
All right, wait, hold on.
Oh, I got the name of the fruit. It's a passion fruit. Is that what
that's what Manny said.
That's what I said to kick things off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, did you have a passion fruit? You're like, no, definitely didn't have one of those.
Maracuya. Yeah.
It's Maggie, you ever had a passion fruit?
I mean, I think so, but now I'm not so sure.
Anyway.
I've never been to Costa Rica, so apparently I've never had the really good stuff.
We need to get more fruits and vegetables in this radio studio instead of Doritos and Cheetos and Diet Coke, which is all over the newsroom right now.
Good luck to that. With this crowd? No way.
I'm sounding like Tom Brady now. I was actually thinking about Tom Brady when I was down there. I'm like, oh, I get it. I get the TB12 method now. Like, fresh fruit and vegetables is a key to longevity.
Did you see Giselle?
No, I saw the jiu-jitsu instructor.
Oh. High five him.
Why, does she live down there?
Yeah, this is the whole thing. She and Tom had the big compound in Costa Rica.
Wait,
they're
what?
Just eating papaya all day and being beautiful.
Yeah, that's how they do it. It's the key is eating a lot of passion fruit makes you a beautiful person. Like, Maggie,
you have a lot of passion.
You're not here in the studio. I'm glowing. I'm glowing right now, aren't I, Manny? Like a different
you look
person.
Spectacular.
Yes.
Man, Perloff being radiant is not something I had on my bingo card. I don't know how we're going to deal with this as a show.
Yeah, it's all the passion fruit.
So his Eagles win the Super Bowl, so he's riding on cloud nine because of the Eagles, and now Perloff has a healthy diet of fruits and vegetables from Costa Rica. I don't know if we're going to be able to do this.
Not to mention the tan that he has. I mean, the guy looks like Juan Soto right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need Perloff like paranoid and sleep deprived and looking pasty and pale. Like, that's the Perloff we know. This new guy, I don't know even how to deal with this.
Yeah. Now that I have maracuya in my life, forget it.
Everyone says that. Okay. Coming up, we will get to whose stock is up and whose stock is down after a big weekend, the M&P 500. But you're welcome to call us about Shador Sanders at 855-212-4227. Do you forecast good things for Shador, or is this going to be a lot harder than maybe he or Dion or anyone thinks as he transitions to the NFL? It's Maggie Perloff.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. So I was off last week, as we keep talking about, in Costa Rica. And every Wednesday, we do the Great Debate. I'm sitting on the beach, trying to relax, and I see the Great Debate topic come from Maggie and Perloff Show. And it got me so annoyed that I almost called into the show. Maggie, can you explain the topic and the background of exactly what you were going for?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize it was going to tick you off so much. So last week, a lot of the conversation was about how bad the NBA All-Star break was and how bad the game, the format, the broadcast, the slam dunk contest. I mean, you could criticize this thing 100 different ways. So it got us thinking, what are some traditions in sports that need to be retired permanently? Okay, so right. That was sort of the loose association on the news that we did for the Great Debate. And to be honest, not only did we come up with some great ideas, one of the ideas actually went by the wayside 2 days later. So props to Alex, who said one of the traditions in sports that needed to die was the Yankees' ban on facial hair. And Hal Steinbrenner must have been listening to the show. They literally held a press conference on Friday to pat themselves on the back.
Did they really need to hold a press conference, though? I was the one that
wanted
to do it. Did they really need to hold a press conference?
Why was that press conference 40 minutes? Anyway, the Yankees actually retired one of the silly things. So, Alex, kudos to you.
Yeah.
But, Perloff, what got you so upset?
Well, first of all, that's a tradition with one team. Who cares about that? That one annoyed me a little bit because I'm like, who cares? The Yankees, that's not, everything else was like global to all the sports. So that annoyed me. Sorry, Alex. but I was annoyed by it. Like, you want to get rid of the wave. The wave is awesome. Who doesn't like being in a wave?
Everybody.
Me.
Pat, I love the wave.
That's unfortunate. Isn't it called the Mexican wave?
It is called the Mexican wave.
It is?
Yeah.
It's ironic.
Yeah.
Then there was another one that I didn't like. But Maggie, I didn't like yours at all. You want to get rid of school mascots that are live animals. Now, I felt bad immediately. I'm like the fun part. Like, everything else on there is light and fun. And it's like, get rid of the wave, get rid of facial hair, whatever. And then it dawned on me, is this like a serious, like, sort of animal cruelty take?
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, I also just don't think we need it anymore.
What are you
know?
It's so weird. Fun, though.
Fun for who? For Bevo, the big cow bowl that is in a stadium with 80,000 people? Is it fun for Uga 12,
yes,
who looks like he'd rather be anywhere else than in the sugar, you know, at the sugar bowl?
What are you talking about? You think Uga doesn't enjoy being at the game?
Ask the first 11. Why are we on 12?
Yeah,
because Bulldogs don't live that long. No, Uga's totally fine.
I think we have so many other mascots that are not live animals that are great. Like, your Philly Fanatic is awesome. You know, if you want to do Mr. Met, you could do Bucky the Badger.
San
Diego Oregon
Chicken,
Duck.
Great guy.
Great guy. I tried to bury him. I tried to cancel the San Diego Chicken under a Me Too scandal. Turns out I was dead wrong. But again, we don't need the live animals. You need an actual tiger to be on the sidelines at LSU?
Yes.
Come on.
Oh my God, it's amazing! I, 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 I don't know. Like, there's only one Philly fanatic. So instead of, like, Ralphie the Buffalo, you're going to have some guy running around in a Buffalo outfit? That's ridiculous. Like, yeah, I think if you could do them humanely, then these animals are really cool mascots. And I don't think, I don't know much about the backgrounds of them, but they don't seem like they're suffering.
Is it natural for an animal like that to be in a stadium with 80,000 people cheering and fireworks going off and all of that? I think not. But by the way, you're right, because I lost this great debate. If you want to go by the poll results, I had the fewest amount of support. I only got 12% of the vote. But you know what won is the sports tradition that should be retired? The wave. The wave and the kiss cam were neck and neck, but the wave ended up winning. Pearl, you're alone here. People don't like it.
I don't know. It felt like a lot of negativity in that great debate. It felt like let's get rid of these things that some people enjoy. Like, why? Just let it be. The kiss cam. Kiss cam is great. There's so many embarrassing moments that come out of the kiss cam. Like, why? Who sits there and says, man, we got to get rid of that kiss cam?
Single Manny.
Single, yeah.
Yeah, Manny was bitter.
Is that where it
came
from?
On the kiss cam.
Does anybody want to watch grown adults awkwardly kiss each other on camera?
Yes.
Why, dog? That's weird.
It's funny. I don't know. I just like it's part of the, like, I like a t-shirt cannon. I like a kiss cam. I like all the side stuff. I like some 9-year-old dude flossing on camera.
And mistreated animals. You love those, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And animal cruelty.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Perloff. The show's going to be sent straight to PETA. We're going to be on our butts.
It just felt like, okay, like, Perloff's gone. Let's complain about little things that annoy us. Like, come on. Like, what? That's not a great debate. That I felt like you guys were being petty. I'm sorry. I'm just going to throw it out there.
This was a send-up to you, by the way, complaining about small things.
What do I complain? But I mean, there's nothing like, what do I complain about small things? I complain about big things. Like any little side attraction at a sporting event, I'm all for. Like, right? Like, we all love the entertainment aspect. Like, go to a basketball game. There's like 7 minutes of actual basketball and 45 minutes of sideline entertainment. Am I right about that, Bogus? You know the kids love it.
Music during possessions.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's the wave. I really think, like, people don't like
the
wave.
You love the wave. What do you like about it?
Oh, I don't know. It's just like you're sitting there, you stand up, you get down. I can't believe people hate the wave. What's the hate about the wave?
Everyone hates the wave. Like, stands up in the middle of, like, an insane play or something like that, and you just miss it because someone's in front of you.
Well, usually you're doing the wave as, like, I always thought it was, like, a silent fan protest of, like, this game is boring. So we're going to do the wave. That's how I thought it started, but now there's no rhyme or reason to it.
Alex, what games are you at that it's so precious that like you're going to miss?
It was Argentina-Canada.
There you go.
The Copa America semifinal.
Boy. Here, now we get
I'm trying to watch the GOAT play. Yeah. He's trying to watch Lionel Messi go up against Jonathan David.
Yeah, so this is exactly what it is. This was, at the roots of this great debate was soccer snobbery. I knew there was something. I finally got to it. Finally got to it. The worst crime in sports, soccer snobbery. There we go.
That's what Perloff wants to retire. No, this was Pat Boyle. It was Pat Boyle who picked the wave. I don't know if Pat's a soccer snob. He was talking about baseball.
Well, he's a City fan, so.
Yeah, he does. He does enjoy the English soccer.
But What was he? Did we name all the? Was there any other nominations that were strong?
Yeah. Okay, so we had live animal mascots. These are sports traditions that should be retired. Live animal mascots, the kiss cam, the wave, the Yankees facial hair policy, which did actually go by the wayside 2 days after we did this, and EJ's was handshake lines in college because it caused, scuffles and stuff. And then a few days later, Saturday night, we get BYU Arizona, where we did get a big scuffle in the handshake line. So maybe EJ was onto something.
Yeah, I could see that one, but still, like, I don't know. We need the content, guys. We can't get rid of these things. Like all the good stuff. 80% of the stuff we talk about is like you're going to get rid of. I don't know. It just feels like.
So, Perloff, there's not one sports tradition that you would want to get rid of.
What was in the chat? Like, did the chat have some good ones? No, like none.
Yes.
I saw someone say like running on to the, like storming the field or storming the court.
We had some court storming. I mean, we also had Gatorade baths was a really popular one.
Yeah, that was popular too,
What are we, the no fun police? What are we, the NFL? Or was this Roger Goodell? I'm surprised. Court storming, like that can't be popular because everyone loves court storming, even as wildly dangerous as it is.
That's why Maggie loves it.
Yeah, everybody loves it.
As long as people get hurt.
Yeah.
Every man for themselves.
Gatorade bath. What is the harm in a Gatorade bath? Like, why does that bother anybody?
I've had a lot of fun hearing you say, why are you mad about this? This is your job. You're always mad about things.
There are things you get mad about, but not these things. Okay. These things are hard. Well, find one, Bogus, where I get mad. I do like, you know, what was the game where they gave the Gatorade bath? It was Kentucky LSU, and the team ended up losing. Is that do you remember that?
No.
It was like 8 years ago, Kentucky LSU, they Gatorade bath. I think the Kentucky coach. I'll find it. Like, that's not good. But generally, I don't. Maybe it's because the Eagles just won the Super Bowl. I'm for all this stuff.
Great.
Wait, the Eagles won the Super Bowl, so now you're for live animal mascots? They actually don't have a real eagle.
Maggie, you wouldn't understand what it's like to watch your coach get a Gatorade bath because you have to actually win a game.
Oh, well, that's true.
You set that
up. He's got me there. Pearl, you said you have a present for us?
Oh, I got a... Okay, the present is I got these little chocolates for everybody. So Costa Rica, they make a lot of chocolate and they make a lot of coffee. So I have chocolate-covered coffee beans, which you can see on YouTube right now, Infinity Sports Radio Network. And they're really, really good. I bought like 7 for everyone and ate 3 on the plane. Now there are 4.
Coffee-flavored candy from Latin America is actually crack.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I could have spent a little more money and got bigger ones, but I was worried about everybody's waistline.
Sure, yeah.
Except Alex, who doesn't seem to have any problems.
Now that you're on a fruit and vegetables-only diet from your vacation. So is that one bag we're all splitting?
No, you all got little bags.
Okay.
Well, 4 of us did.
Well, I 4 of you do. I wasn't aware of this Alex situation. I wasn't aware that I'd be arrived back to America and Alex, a super soccer fan, who's so worried about a wave interrupting a soccer play when they only score about once every hour and a half. Like, what are you going to miss, dude? Like a little pass? Whatever.
Just eviscerated soccer like that.
No, I'm just saying the wave is fun. Like, yeah, you got to do something. No one scores. I'm sorry, Alex is such a purist, needs to see the ball movement, like, oh, whatever.
Oh, man. All right, folks, get us to some headlines, will you?
This is coming from a guy who dresses up as soccer players for Halloween.
I do like the outfits.
The Sixers, by the way, have a present for Pearl coming home. A not great Joel Embiid update, according to reports. Embiid undergoing another round of tests this week on his troublesome left knee. The team and player exploring their options, which might be surgery, since the current rehab plan hasn't made the knee any better. On the court last night, the Thunder feeling good in Minnesota.
Gildas Alexander between the rings. 10 to shoot. Probes and kicks. Right wing Williams wants 3. It's online. Cha-ching. Another Thunder money ball, baby. Ring it up. 123-112. OKC by 11.
Matt Pinto on Thunder Radio. OKC a 130-123 win in Minnesota. Jalen Williams scored 18, had 9 assists. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 37 with 8 rebounds and 8 helpers. The Cavs outscored the Grizzlies 129-123 for a 7-game win streak. The Piston run is up to 6 after outscoring the Hawks 148-143. Cade Cunningham, 38 points and 12 rebounds. And the Bucks have won 4 in a row, rallying past the Heat 120-113. Miami losing despite leading by as many as 14 and getting 40 points from Tyler Hero. Hockey last night, the Robertson family had a good evening.
Duchesne, Johnston save, rebound, score! Robertson completes the hat trick! All 3 goals here in the second period, the last 2 on the power play. What a night for Jason Robertson.
So that's 3 goals for Jason Robertson in the Stars 4-3 win at the Islanders. His brother Nicholas scored twice in Toronto's 5-2 win in Chicago. The last brothers to score multiple goals on the same day were Pavel and Valerie Bure back on March 1st, 2000. A quick off the top of my head trivia question. Who is or was Val Bure married to? She's an actress. I think they're still together.
I have no idea.
Anybody?
Was she Canadian?
I don't think she's Canadian. She was on American TV.
Cuthbert?
She's married to Dion.
She's married to someone else.
And I think she is Canadian. Yeah. You got to go a little farther back. Like, think TGI Friday.
Oh, it's Cameron.
Yes.
From Full House.
From Full House.
DJ from Full House.
Yep. See, Maggie
Candace
got there.
Cameron Bure. You're right.
Which one was that on Full House?
The older sister.
Oh, the non-twin.
And the non-Jodie Sweetin one. There are two older sisters plus the twins. All right, good talk. U.S. women's soccer beat off. See, here's Perlov immediately. He hates this conversation, so he just goes away.
I was already having trouble with you.
Save the wave.
I didn't like you calling assist a helper. I know you do that in your updates.
Oh, so you were out since then?
Yeah,
that's like four paragraphs ago.
No, it's just like things that we got to change, like a helper.
Can we just rewind this conversation to 45 seconds ago when Perlov was chastising me for getting upset about the little things in sports, like live animal mascots, when you just basically protested the show because Bogus said helper instead of assist. But no. Tell me how I'm petty.
Yeah, I don't know.
That happened 90 seconds ago. No, nothing. Got nothing.
Well, obviously, I did that on purpose to make fun of it. Yeah.
No.
Oh, come on. Sure. Thanks for explaining that joke that I made, how Maggie, that of course that's what I was doing. I was trying to pretend I was petty like you guys. Helper, whatever.
Just being you. U.S. women's soccer beat Australia last night 2-1 in Arizona, improving to 2-0 in the She Believes Cup. They'll face Japan for the title on Wednesday in San Diego. And you may have heard late last week that Venus Williams was going to play the upcoming event in Indian Wells, California. It would have been her first WTA event in a year, but Venus said over the weekend she never had any plans to play there. She heard about it when the tournament made its announcement. We don't know yet how things got so mixed up. Maggie, back to you.
Maggie.
Yeah, the Williams sisters in Indian Wells has had a very challenging history. It looks like it's continuing. Folks, thanks so much. Okay, we didn't get a chance to get to the M&P 500. Whose stock is up and whose stock is down after a big weekend? We get to that next.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, back from vacation in Costa Rica. So, Pearl, a little stock up, stock down, as we do on Mondays after a big weekend. Get us started. Whose stock is up in your book?
Okay, I'm going to do a little callback from last week because I wasn't here and I didn't get to talk about it. But it's also permeated throughout this week. SNL 50, to me, was a grand slam home run. I'm going back a week. But I just got back, and everybody in my circle is talking about it and replaying the skits. They played all my favorite skits. And the thing about it, Maggie, SNL 50, the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live, had such a high bar. To even get close to that bar, when something is so much hype around an event, to actually deliver, to me, is a huge accomplishment. Maybe it wasn't for everybody. Maybe you aren't an SNL fan. But the fact that they made a halfway funny show, considering what an assignment it was, to me, was a crazy feat. So I'm going off sports, but I was so excited about SNL. I know you guys hit it last week, but I just wanted to weigh in as well.
Yeah, I thought I had some moments. But I thought the 25th anniversary was much, much better. And in some ways, I thought the 40th was better, too. But sure, yes. I mean, it's an accomplishment just to be this culturally relevant for 50 years. That's wild.
Strong disagree. This one was way funnier than the 40th. It had Kristen Wiig, and it had Kate McKinnon and Meryl Streep. Oh, man, I loved every second of it. But go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, my stock up goes to somebody who we love to clown around here. Perloff's not a huge fan. But how about Alex Rodriguez? I have no idea why he was at a Bucknell basketball game last night, nor why was he taking a half-court shot on behalf of a student. But how about A-Rod nails a half-court basketball shot at Bucknell and wins a kid $10,000. Now, I don't know if they got to pay taxes on this or the whole deal or whatever, but apparently he was at Bucknell to speak about his company, which he founded with a couple other entrepreneurs, and apparently one of them is a graduate of Bucknell and the other's a trustee. Okay, so he's there to do some kind of speaking engagement, gets to the basketball game wearing the Bucknell shirt, and drains a half-court shot. Alex Rodriguez,
amazing.
Phenomenal athlete. Could he have been a crossover star? Could he have been a two-sport star? I have no idea.
Amazing. And that was the weirdest headline I've ever seen, and you're right, that was crazy incredible. Okay, I'll do stock down, and I'm glad I get to it first because I know you want to do it as well. I mean, Joel Embiid, I'm sorry. Now the report is that the Sixers and Joel Embiid are exploring new options for his knee injury, including surgery. We all know what that means. Exploring new options means bye-bye, Joel. Not only is this season over, which it is already over, but I think his Sixers era is over. I think the process is over. I have zero expectations that he will ever play any meaningful minutes with the 76ers again.
Yeah, this is rough. This whole season for the 76ers has been one big stock down, and they had high expectations, which makes it even worse. My stock down has got to go to Steve Smith, whose business is now all over the internet. Now, he has not commented, but a story came out over the weekend where he was allegedly having an affair with a woman who worked at the Baltimore Ravens when Smith was there from 2014 to 2016. Reputable outlets are reporting on this, so I don't feel like it's too gossipy or whatever, but it is very gossipy. Steve Smith has not said anything, and some of these text messages that came out between allegedly this woman and Steve Smith, quite frankly, TMI. And we need a new version of TMI, like too much information. Didn't need to know about that. And so for Steve Smith having his business plastered all over the internet, somebody got sloppy, and that's a big stock down for Steve Smith.
Yeah, that's got a lot of attention. Good one. Okay, time for one more stock up at least.
Yeah, go ahead.
USC women's basketball. Oh my God, they're so good. I watched them beat up by Illinois yesterday, and they're setting up. They're going to play number 3 UCLA on Saturday. Juju Watkins is a superstar. I feel like just the way it's going is she's sort of filling in that void left by Caitlin Clark, and the way that they're a top team is really exciting to me. I think USC women's basketball, especially if they beat UCLA, who's also great, is just going to head into the tournament, Maggie, with so much momentum. They've beaten eight straight wins against ranked teams. It's just really amazing to watch. And I think like the gods who rule women's college basketball are thrilled that they're this good right now. And going up against UCLA next Saturday night is going to be the game of the year so far. I can't wait.
Okay, I got a stock up for you, and I've got another stock down, but these are non-sports related. So my stock up is milkshakes. Pearl, I had one over the weekend. Yeah. My family and I went to a diner on Saturday night for dinner. Just did not feel like cooking. Go to the diner, and someone in the next table ordered a milkshake, and I was like, man, that looks really good. I haven't had, like, you guys know I don't love ice cream, and I don't love those kind of textures.
Weirdo.
But it was just, like, so, it looks so delicious that I ordered it. Vanilla milkshake, whipped cream, sprinkles, such a delight. I forgot the power and the beauty of a milkshake. It's so simple, and I just loved it. And then another sports, non-sports related stock down. Can I do stock down on movie descriptions that don't nearly tell you what you need to know about the movie? My husband and I were watching a movie called Anora. It's an Oscar nominated movie over the weekend, right? Yeah, they don't tell you the most important part of the film, which is about this young girl who falls in love with this Russian oligarch's young son, who's kind of like an immature brat. And they don't tell you that she's a stripper and an escort in the description of the film, Perloff. We had no idea what we were walking into. And we thought it was just going to be a love story, a romance story. It's got gratuitous nudity and sex all over the whole thing. We were blindsided.
Oh, my God. That's because you don't pay attention to culture, Maggie. Everybody knows what Anora is about.
Dude, it wasn't in the description. I had no idea. And all of a sudden, the opening scene, I was like, what is happening? I don't know if I can hang on for this. It's too racy.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.